a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm watching the headlines we're tracking at this hour. Market expansion. Chinese President Xi Jinping emphasizes the importance of opening up the Western region to domestic and international markets during his inspection tour to Chongqing. Profit concerns. Swiss banking giant UBS has reduced its ratings for the prominent tech stocks in the U.S., expressing concerns about the possibility of a significant decline in profit growth. Gaining traction, China's esports industry experiences rapid growth, attracting international organizers, professionals, and enthusiasts. Chinese President Xi Jinping has chaired a symposium in southwestern China's Chongqing municipality, focusing on advancing development in China's western region in a new era. China's Western Development Strategy now covers 12 provincial regions and 3 city-level autonomous regions. The Western region has been an outperformer in terms of economic growth since a targeted development strategy was introduced in 1999. GDP jumped from 1.5 trillion yuan, or $207 billion in 1999, to nearly 27 trillion yuan, or $3.72 trillion last year. In May 2019, the central government unveiled a new development guideline for the Western region that accelerated its shift toward quality growth. Over the past 5 years, sectors like aviation, information technology, and photovoltaics have become the region's investment magnets, while industrial value added and foreign trade both surged. Infrastructure plays a vital role in unleashing the potential of major inland cities in China's western region by linking them with other regions and ASEAN countries. The new Western Land-Sea Corridor is a significant project driving this connectivity. And joining us for more insights on this project is Ying Chengzhi, Associate Dean of the School of Public Policy and Management at Tsinghua University. Thank you for joining us, Professor. So let's start with the inspection tour. What insights did President Xi's this tour offer about the future development of the Western region?
The Western regions of China will definitely play a more important role in China's reform and opening up in the future. They are the Western gates of opening up that would provide more opportunities of business and international or interregional cooperation. Not only the ASEAN countries you mentioned, but also countries in the west of China, like the mid-Asia Asian countries. On the other hand, the western regions of China are upstream regions of great rivers in China. Ecological preservation and restoration and the protection of biodiversity are always the main concerns in development in these regions. The future development will be surely a sustainable development under the guidance of Xi Jinping's thought on ecological civilization.
And Professor Ying, how does the construction of the new Western Land-Sea Corridor contribute to economic growth in Chongqing and its surrounding areas?
The development of the new Western Land-Sea Corridor can create 3 interregional links for Chongqing municipality and surrounding areas. Number one would be the Yangtze River Economic Belt, so it's horizontal, and the Silk Road Economic Belt in the northwest, and the 21st century maritime Silk Road in the south. And it would be the intersectional crossroad of the 3 different economic belts. And it could facilitate the opening up and integrated development of the regional economy and create a more effective connection to relevant regions and nations. Besides, this corridor may also shorten the logistics time between Chongqing and coastal ports, reduce the logistics costs, and enhance the competitiveness of the region's foreign trade, and therefore attract more foreign investment projects and facilitate improvement and upgrading of industrial chain.
And what technologies have been most effective in advancing the digital transformation of urban governance, and what new technologies or approaches could further enhance governance efficiency and quality in the future?
Well, for public agencies, digital platforms of urban management could achieve interconnectivity of information among various departments and improve the transparency and efficiency in decision making And regarding the application of the new technologies, big data analysis techniques would monitor and analyze urban operational data in real time, and therefore predict the and solve urban problems as soon as possible. In addition, the intelligence of urban management, or maybe nowadays the AI, could also be improved and optimized, with intelligent transportation systems and intelligent environmental monitoring. These modern urban management tools could enhance the accuracy and convenience of urban services. But, of course, I cannot predict the future of technologies. However, urban governance needs the participation of different stakeholders. New technologies should be applied to further improve the interaction between the public sectors and the private sectors, and therefore enhance the citizens' capacity and their awareness to participate in urban management, and therefore to improve the performance of this participation, make the citizens more satisfied with the services of urban management offered.
Well, thank you very much for your insights. That was Yin Chengzhi, Associate Dean of the School of Public Policy and Management at Tsinghua University for us. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is visiting China from Wednesday to Friday. His visit comes at the invitation of Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi. Blinken is expected to meet with senior Chinese officials in Beijing and Shanghai. Our reporter Chen Tong reports.
Now, earlier, the Chinese official has said the trip by Blinken is part of the efforts to implement the common understanding reached by the presidents of the two countries in San Francisco, maintain dialogue, manage differences, advance cooperation, and strengthen coordination on international affairs. And on April 2nd, U.S. President, in the phone call, U.S. President Joe Biden told the Chinese President Xi Jinping that the U.S. will send Blinken to China, and the Chinese side welcome Blinken's visit. Well, earlier, the Chinese official has also said that the Chinese side is focusing on five goals regarding Blinken's visit. First, establishing the right perception. Second, strengthening dialogue. Third, effectively managing disagreements. Fourth, promoting mutually beneficial cooperation. And of course, fifth, working together to fulfill responsibilities as major countries. And these five goals were also mentioned by President Xi Jinping in San Francisco last year. Well, Blinken's last trip to China was actually in June last year, and he spent 2 days in Beijing, met with Chinese officials. Well, at the current moment, we are not sure about his specific plan this time, but his agenda this time include two cities in 3 days. So though we're not sure, very sure about the specific plan, but we can tell that the U.S. side is seeking a deeper communication with China, and the communication between China and the U.S. has been strengthening in the past month. In the beginning of April, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen also spent 4 days in China, and she visited China's southern metropolis Guangzhou and China's capital Beijing. And here in China, Yellen has made clear once again that the U.S. is not decoupling from China. Still, we are not very sure about the specific plan Blinken here in China at this time, so we are still going to see how the dialogue will go this time.
China is ready to make joint efforts with the U.S. to steer the relationship forward along the track of sound, stable, and sustainable development, Xie Feng, Chinese ambassador to the U.S., said during the opening ceremony of the Harvard Kennedy School China Conference 2024.
We are facing grave challenges in China-U.S. relations, frankly speaking. Whether our young friends here can continue to enjoy the 8-decade-long peace and development, as your parents did, largely depends on whether China and the United States can find a right way to get along with each other in this new era. China is ready to make joint efforts with the U.S. side, live up to our mission, show good faith and sincerity, and take concrete actions to implement the important consensus reached between our two presidents, so as to turn the San Francisco vision into reality and steer the relationship forward along the track of sound, stable, and sustainable development.
And now we're heading for a short break. Still to come on the program. Conflict concerns. Swiss banking giant UBS has reduced its ratings for the prominent technology stocks in the U.S., expressing concerns about the possibility of a significant decline in profit growth.
The world economy as we know it is about to change. Global business reports highlight emerging markets, developing countries, and dynamic sectors worldwide. We feature top analysts and newsmakers to provide perspectives on every facet of business. From an on-the-ground perspective, we provide you with balanced and objective assessments. Fast, sharp, and insightful. Global business. Only on CGTN.
Profit growth momentum of the so-called Big Six technology stocks could collapse over the next few quarters, UBS Global Research Strategist said on Monday, downgrading their ratings for the mega-cap companies. The Big Six, namely Apple, Amazon, Google parent Alphabet, Meta Platforms, Microsoft, and Nvidia, were downgraded by the bank's analysts from overweight to neutral. The following ratings come amid recent signs of volatility in the tech market, where analysts have been divided over whether the boom reflects a potential tech bubble that could burst at some point in the future. Last Friday capped off one of the worst weeks for tech stocks since March 2020. Nvidia's shares led the fall, dropping by 10% on Friday. Analysts say the coming week's round of earnings are vital to assess future trends. Geopolitical uncertainty and challenges related to inflation and interest rates are also cited as concerns weighing on these tech shares. iPhone sales have tumbled in China, with Apple posting its worst quarterly sales in 4 years. It comes as demand for Huawei smartphones continues to surge. Our correspondent John Terrett is in New York.
Things not really going in the right direction anymore regarding iPhone sales in China, which I don't need to remind you is where the things are actually made. Sales down 19% in the first quarter of the year, and that is the worst since the COVID era of a couple of years ago. And Apple, I'm pretty sure, used to be the number one smartphone maker in China, and now it's number three behind two companies that most of the world probably hasn't heard of with respect to them. One is called Vivo, which is the most popular smartphone company in China at the moment, another one called Honor, and then comes Apple, and then comes Huawei. Now, the competition, therefore, in China for these smartphones is extremely intense at the moment. And Huawei sales for the same period, the first quarter, the first 3 months of 2024, were up by 70%. So Apple down 19%, Huawei with their Mate 60 phone, which all the Chinese seem to be buying now, up 70%. And this despite the fact that Tim Cook, who's the Apple boss, has been over there to Beijing and to other cities in China. Of course, he's gone partly because the US government asked him to, because he's one of the top CEOs representing America over there, as we try to smooth relations now between Beijing and Washington, D.C. after a very difficult period. But he also went as a charm offensive for his own company, because he wants to boost sales over there, not only of the iPhones, but also other Apple products as well. And Apple is actually offering some very, very deep discounts in China. I mean, you can get 20% off some of the product, which is an awful lot, really. But on the other side, China's smartphone market in the same period, this first 3 months, increased 1.5% overall. So there's a sector that is really growing quite strongly, and certainly better than expected. People who may have less money to spend are still spending it on things like smartphones, but they're spending it locally with things like the Huawei Mate 60 rather than Apple. And that's certainly a turnaround for the book. So today, Apple shares are up 0.25%. But for the year, and this reflects the story, they're down about 10%.
UBS Group upgraded its recommendations on a key Chinese stock index to overweight on Tuesday. In a note written by the Swiss bank's strategists, the reason behind the upgrade was the resilience of the earnings per share of the MSCI China index, which was not affected by the country's real estate sector. UBS has long considered the MSCI China index as a reflection of consumer sentiment, with combined internet and consumption sectors constituting 55% of its composition. The report also said UBS is now more positive on earnings prospects buoyed by signs of consumption rebounding and indications household savings are flowing into spending and eventually the market. Over the past 18 months, the EPS of China's internet industry surged by 23%, while the consumer industry saw a modest 2% increase. In addition, the MSCI China Index EPS has only dipped by 2% over the same period, outperforming other emerging markets, which experienced an 8% decline. To gain more insights into the recent downgrade in U.S. stocks, we turn to Chen Jiahe, Chief Investment Officer at Nuvem RK Technologies. Great to see you again, Mr. Chen. So how has the downgrade affected the U.S. market sentiment?
It is clearly not too happy with the downgrade, especially after the bull market of Nasdaq in the past few years. You know, Nasdaq index has increased by around 200% in the past 8 years, and only in past and this year it increased by 50%. So after a large rally in the stock market, investors have a large amount of profit to take off. So that means any negative news can affect the market by a large extent. In recent trading days, we have saw just a small hiccup for Nasdaq, but investors are starting to worry. The widespreading of this downgrade report is a proof.
So what's behind this warning of this slowdown in profit growth of these mega tech companies?
Well, the high interest rate is clearly a very important reason. You know, the Fed rate is now staying at 5.5% ever since last July. This rate is very high. Actually, it is one of the highest rates ever since 1990s. You know, with such a high interest rate, people would rather save money than spend, and the companies would store their investment plans. The Fed is actually needing to lower the interest rate before any inflation comes back again. Another smaller reason, I'd say, is that amid the tech wave, have been expanding too fast in the past few years. A rapid expansion brings competition as well as higher company cost, which also pose some pressure to the profit growth.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. Senator Chen Jiahe, Chief Investment Officer at Nuvem RK Technologies. And the U.S. Senate has passed a divest or ban bill on TikTok in a 79-18 vote. And this comes after it was passed by the House of Representatives on Saturday. The bill is now awaiting signing into law by President Joe Biden, who has said he would do so. The potential ban forces ByteDance, parent company of TikTok, to sell its popular short video app or face a ban in the country. The company did not make immediate comments, but he has said in an internal email it would quickly go to court to block the legislation.
Whether it's about your education, the home you live in, or the items you buy, your money has a story to tell. Because every business story is a human story. Global Business.
China now boasts the world's biggest esports market. The industry has benefited from an increasing number of world-class professional events, esports being listed as an item at Asian Games, and a rising popularity of e-game platforms. China's esports industry garnered 26.4 billion yuan last year, equivalent to 3.6 billion US dollars, and the number of esports players hit 488 million. China now ranks top in industry value, number of players, and speed of development globally, according to a report by the China Audio, Video, and Digital Publishing Association. China's esports industry has grown rapidly in recent years, attracting international organizers, esports professionals, and enthusiasts to experience a vibrant esports environment. And our Hu Bingyi brings us to the heat of an international esports tournament in Chengdu.
Chengdu is heating up. After 5 years, the Intel Extreme Master is back.
As one of the world's premier esports tournaments, IEM 2024 Chengdu boasted impressive data. The three-day tickets sold out in a minute, even though it cost nearly 4,000 yuan or around $500.
The fans are insane and they are following us a lot, so it's a crazy experience.
Esports charts tweeted that it has become the most popular Counter-Strike event in Asia of all time.
It's very notable for us to see that comparing to 2019 to 24, a lot has changed. The fans are very passionate and hungry to get this international competition, and that's of course something that makes us happy.
You may wonder why this international event is taking place in Chengdu, but not mega cities like Beijing or Shanghai.
There are plenty of esports organizations based in Chengdu. There are also outstanding game publishers, such as Tencent Timi Studios. And secondly, I think public transportation and population are key to esports infrastructures.
Chen tells me that the number of residents in Chengdu grew from 16 million in 2015 to 21 million in 2023. Those 5 million residents are from the younger generation and are willing to accept new things like devoting themselves to the esports industry. Data from the Sichuan Esports Association showed that there are over 3 million gamers in Chengdu. That's why tickets for esports events are in such high demand.
The esports club followed the esports event. There are about 30 clubs in Chengdu now.
Esports enterprises are also developing well with a worth of nearly 10 billion yuan or $1.4 billion. Liu says that since 2020, Chengdu has been introducing supportive measures to build an esports cultural capital.
Chengdu wants to create an area where esports is concentrated from the upstream, middle, and downstream.
I find a very interesting thing in Chengdu. You can easily find an esports hotel in this city. And right now, I'm walking down the street just 5 minutes away from where I live, and you can see there's one right here in the second floor. This kind of special hotel offers extra gaming setups for guests, and there are over 1,000 of these hotels in Chengdu. While the esports ecosystem is maturing, industry insiders have noted that the business models still need improvement.
Besides its upstream sectors like gaming and live streaming, self-sufficiency and the exploration of a new business model in the esports industry are the two core challenges.
Chengdu knows to keep growing, they've got to cultivate talent. I visited a training school affiliated with the University of Electronics, Science and Technology of China to find out more.
This place offers professional coaches and they can provide academic qualifications.
The training base serves not only esports players, but also offers lessons for related majors to support the entire ecosystem.
Besides focusing on esports, we've also integrated technical courses such as game development and game animation design. We're even planning to introduce drone training courses soon.
Zhang also highlighted the opportunities for inter-industry cooperation.
This industry requires more outstanding talents from beyond the industry to come in, not speculators, but those who genuinely believe in the industry's potential.
The city has two more international esports events coming up soon. Zhang said that China's esports is experiencing the best of times despite challenges. It's not just a game, it's a game changer. Hu Bingyi, CGTN, Chengdu.
And now for more discussion of the future of China's esports market, let's bring in Qin Ruohan, Teaching Associate in Economics at the University of Cambridge. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Qin. So China has emerged as the world's largest esports market. How do you view the potential of the industry and what are the key trends driving future growth?
So China's esports market is forecasted to continue an upward trajectory with explosive growth, driven by a surge in consumer purchasing power, substantial investment from tech giants, and a rising number of active esports players. Crucially, the industry is gaining considerable momentum from the government's official recognition. We're observing annual double-digit growth in market revenues, investments, and the structuring of a robust professional league system, all pointing to vast monetization opportunities within the sector. Additionally, the demographic profile of esports fans is evolving, expanding beyond the typical young male demographic to include middle-aged individuals and women, making esports increasingly more popular at a pace that may soon surpass traditional sports, positioning it as a major cultural export from China. Nevertheless, it's important to approach the boom with caution. Empirical evidence suggests the possibility of bubble behavior. To ensure the industry's stable and sustained growth, it's vital to maintain policy consistency and continuity.
How do you expect the esports sector to contribute to China's consumption?
So esports is primed to make a substantial impact on both direct and ancillary consumption in China. Directly, given the State Council has acknowledged esports' role in stimulating consumption and national economy by recognizing esports as a new form of sports consumption in 2018, The associated supportive policies from the central and local governments will continue to amplify the industry's impact on consumption. Indirectly, the esports industry catalyzes a multiply effect across the economy. It boosts demand for ancillary products and services, leading to growth in related industries like equipment manufacturing, technology provision, and event organization. The rise of esports tournaments has also spurred tourism, with cities hosting these events seeing a notable increase in tourism revenue. Furthermore, esports stimulate cultural industries influencing fashion, music, and entertainment, and even interfacing with traditional sports. Last but not least, the sector is a significant job creator, offering new opportunities across various fields and thereby driving further consumption through increased income, forming a positive cycle.
And how can cities like Chengdu leverage the opportunities presented by esports, and what key strategies can be employed?
To leverage the thriving esports market, Chengdu can adopt several strategic approaches. First, continued investment in infrastructure is crucial. The city should further develop dedicated state of arts, arenas, and complexes to host major national and international events. It will not only attract major tournaments, but also boost local employment and technological advancements. Second, Chengdu can cultivate a thriving ecosystem for startups by encouraging investments through dedicated funds, attract new businesses and talented individuals, ensuring sustained growth and innovation. Third, cultural integration is essential. By weaving esports into the fabric of Chengdu's rich cultural heritage, the city can enhance its appeal as a vibrant cultural hub. Finally, looking ahead even further, Chengdu should also promote esports education, esports standardization, innovation in esports formats, and health management concerning esports interest and rehabilitation. By focusing on these areas, Chengdu can accelerate its growth as the global capital of esports.
Well, thank you so much for your insights. And that was Qin Zhuhan, Teaching Associate in Economics at the University of Cambridge. And that will do for this edition of Global Business on CGTN. I'm Guan Xing in Beijing. Thank you for being with us. Stay tuned.